Welcome to the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. On this podcast, you'll hear stories to encourage, inspire, and empower you to be the best healthcare advocate that you can be for yourself or for a loved one. The information provided in this podcast is not to be used for any medical advice. This is for information only and to support you in your journey. Please consult with your physician and medical team. In fact, share your favorite episode with your team and ask questions from that.
In this episode of the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast, we have a guest named Annette Lisitra, and she owns a business called The Passionette Palette, and she is a healthcare coach as well as a professionally trained chef. And she talks about all aspects of advocacy, and most importantly, she gives some very simple things to follow to help you be your own healthcare advocate and to break it down into four pillars of your health to focus on to begin your journey toward health and wellness. So listen to this very interesting and passionate episode with Annette. All right, well, welcome to the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. Today we have Annette Lisitra from The Passionette Palette here to talk with us. Welcome, Annette. How are you doing today?
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's a beautiful morning here in Denver, and I'm so excited to have you on today because I have known Annette for over 30 years, and I used to babysit her and her brother and sister, and it's just crazy to think of how far we both have come, and I am so excited to talk with you this morning. So why don't you begin and tell us a little bit about what you've been doing lately?
Yeah, thank you so much. I know, I can't believe it's been such a long time, and but I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful that I'm able to be on here with you, so thank you so much. So I think my health and wellness journey, I started about 5 years ago. And it was, I guess, not by accident, but, you know, nothing's by accident, but I guess it seems a little bit by accident. But I had struggled with a lot of digestive issues for over 20 years, and probably longer than that. But from what I can kind of remember, it started more so in my teens, but even before that. So I had a lot of things considering, I say digestive issues, things like IBS, so irritable bowel syndrome. I'm sure people are familiar with that. SIBO. So it's small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, lots of urinary tract infections, skin issues, just a lot of brain fog, fatigue, lots of stuff going on. And I just never knew really what was going on until about 5 years ago. I had enough and I said, okay, I had things coming out of my skin, you know, just skin irritations that I really was just, it was getting embarrassing and I didn't know what to do. I had been in and out of offices for doctor's offices. A good 20 years, like I said, and all I kept getting, and mostly that was for a lot of the urinary tract infections and trying to figure out what was going on digestively. So with all of that, I decided, okay, it's been too long. I've been in and out of doctor's offices. All they keep doing is throwing me antibiotics. And really that's all it was let's take a, you know, we'll take a test and then we give you an antibiotic. And I, at that point, was like, all right, I'm kind of done with this. I don't even like taking medication. I don't even like taking antibiotics, but I had these recurring UTIs for such a while. And like I said, it was about 5 years ago, I finally decided to go the holistic route and said, I have got to go naturally and figure out what is going on, because I had read an article about this whole thing called melasma, which is it's kind of dark spots on your face and sometimes the neck. So some people with pregnancy tend to get them. Usually it's called the mask of pregnancy. I have not been pregnant. I hadn't been pregnant at the time. So I was getting these and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on. So found out that is, as I was reading this article, that it was related to gut health. And lots of stuff going on in the gut. And I was thinking to myself, wow, that makes a lot of sense for me because I've had a lot of digestive issues for years and years. So finally went the holistic route, more functional, integrative, I guess you could say a little bit more holistic. and found out that it was related to something called, it's termed leaky gut, mm-hmm. and intestinal permeability, and just things going on with my gut that as I started finally reaching out to the functional side, they knew exactly what I was talking about. And it just surprised me because every time I had gone conventional route for, you know, again, 20 plus years, they never once mentioned that. They never mentioned diet, anything, not, you know, nothing was related to one another, which is completely false because all of this is related. And so with all of that, I became my own advocate. I was actually in corporate finance for 12 years, not very happy. And, you know, for three of those positions that I was in for a while, it was with three very large food companies. So I got a chance to see what went into our food system as well. So just, I think it was being not happy with what I was doing in my roles. I didn't feel fulfilled. It's not that they weren't good places to work, but it's just, I didn't feel very fulfilled with my life. So the stress compounded, you know, with that, and then just constant, you know, my digestive was just really irritating me. And clearly what went on my plate, was not very healthy either. So I thought it was, but it wasn't. So all of that stuff, together really was irritating my digestive issues that I was having. And again, 5 years ago, I was like, I had enough. I can't even be in these positions because I don't support what the companies are doing, the food that they're putting out there, or the food-like items. And I also was kind of getting tired of the skin issues and the UTIs, so went that route with holistic and more functional, like I said. And that's when, like, I can't even tell you, my eyes opened so much, and I just knew that there was so much more out there. So I was like, I have got to help people. I'm helping myself at this point. I could see my body changing after I shifted my diet and my lifestyle. And I just had to really, I was like, I've got to help other people with this. I really do. So that's how I became a certified health coach and a chef. So a classically trained chef to help others what goes on your plate to make things simple, easy, and tasty, and really work on the healing process for your body.
Well, Annette, that's amazing. I think one, that you recognized that what the doctors were giving you wasn't working and that you wanted something different for yourself. And so then you did some research and made a change and sought out some other alternatives. What do you think was the biggest reason you went more holistic? Like, what kind of prompted you to look into other things?
Yeah, it really was because I had been going back and forth to the doctor's offices for such a long time, but my last leg of having UTI, I remember this, was about 5 years, it was 5 years ago. Now, urinary tract infections typically can last on the average, maybe a couple weeks, maybe. So, I mean, usually you'll have pain for a couple days, and what the current medical model is, you go to the doctor, get an antibiotic, and your pain, you know, typically subsides, of, you know, after a couple days. So I had a urinary tract infection for 4 months straight. 4 months, it was the most painful thing. It was the most debilitating. I felt like my social life was literally, like, I had nothing. I don't even know how I went to work for 4 months because I was in and out of the doctor's office. And at that point, I said, there has got to be a different way here because these antibiotics are clearly not working. After they kept prescribing something different over and over and over, I think I was on 5 rounds of completely different antibiotics each time, and nothing was working, and they kept creating a different issue. Mm-hmm. And so I said, this is not right. Number one, I know, you know, you got to know your body at some point and say, this isn't right. So I had sought out just the more, I was reading and researching, and I was finding so many more things that were more holistic, natural, like herbs and different foods that you could be eating that will really help clear and help heal. So that was really the time, that was that, like, real hard stopping point where I had that UTI for 4 months and I said, forget this. I can't live my life like this. This has got to go away. So that's when I decided there's got to be other routes and just looked into more natural healing. Yeah.
Well, how wonderful for you to take charge of your own body that way and not just, and we want to listen to our healthcare professionals because they are educated and they know information, but mm-hmm. when the same thing is they're prescribing and it's not working, I think great for you to say, hey, we need to go a different route or look at something else. So good for you for doing that. What was so different about your diet then to now? Because you seem like you would have always been a healthy person, but what was different?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. So, when I talk about lifestyle, I try to talk about, diet was, I was eating a lot of packaged and processed food, thinking that on the package or on the, it says natural or organic, or, and organic is a little different, so that's okay. But, natural, or this is healthy, or it's low calorie, or it's low fat and blah, blah, every fad out there. So, and it's not that I was, following fads or trends. I just was trying to do the best I could and say, okay, I'm going to do this. That's whole wheat, or that this is, lower calories or whatever. And so I was trying my best, but definitely was not doing what I thought or what was definitely good for the body. So, which is whole real food, just period, whole real food. And so, I was also eating a lot of gluten. So wheat, that came up in a food sensitivity test for me back 5 years ago. It showed up like a really, it was like a bright red light went off, and that was my highest food sensitivity was gluten. Mm-hmm. And so I cut that out, and I've been gluten free for 5 years. I remember I was devastated to begin with when that came back up, but it was my body triggering that on the, on the test. And so I said, okay, well, if that's my body saying that, I can't have this anymore, and I won't. And I didn't. And it was probably a good week into it that I didn't, because I kind of went and I said, forget this. I'm not, I've been struggling for so long with my health this year, my digestive, that I just got to cut this gluten out. We'll see what happens. And wow, what a humongous difference I felt even in the first week or two. Just really not having cramping, and that just the pain and the constant, the frequency. So that's really what I changed. And then since then, over the course of 5 years, I've been doing a lot more research that, really just sticking to whole real foods, meaning, whole fruit, a whole veggie, or just, doing some juicing, and cutting out dairy, which is mucus forming and just feeds a bunch of ills. So cut out the gluten, then the dairy, and I felt so much better. And then eggs is another big one. And then I try to limit corn and soy, because those can also be feeders of some pathogens in the body, which I've got a high level of bacteria in my body now it was eating. So gluten was the big one. And then just really started replacing it with a lot of fresh, real food. And I just, my skin has changed. My, the UTIs are thankfully, pretty much gone. And that's really been a big thing. But the lifestyle shift too, I was super stressed with work and being in a positions that I was not in love with. And it was just going against all fibers, of my being. And I didn't know what to do, but really was a lot of, gluten. And there's a whole podcast we could do on that. But
we'll have to schedule another one for that. But I agree. We share a similar story with that. I tested negative for celiac, and yet have always felt that there was something about the wheat, the gluten, that didn't make me feel right. I immediately after eating pretzels, I can have one pretzel and I literally feel sick to my stomach. I remember in grade school trying to describe it to the school nurse that there was a tree growing in my stomach. The pressure of the gas or whatever was cramping, I would complain and be crying. Like, I don't know what's going on. So I totally understand. And nobody's listening to you as a child, right? They're just telling you that it's normal, or just, go to the bathroom or whatever. So that's what you do. You get that kind of like, this is a normal thing to have, until you get to your 20s and 30s and you're like, what is going on? And then thinking for you, like how many other things that started to affect, you said brain fog. I mean, I know personally that you are a super intelligent person. And for you to say that you have brain fog, I just think about our kids today who actually do have diagnoses that their capacity for learning is down, and then what they're eating is making it even worse. And 100% packaged foods, like I tell people all the time, packaged foods are for the benefit of the food manufacturer. for us as consumers. And I think far and beyond, we have so much power. I mean, I know it costs more in the short term to eat this way, unless you're really looking for bargains. But in the long term, we have to make this change. Chronic disease is going through the roof.
Right.
We are looking at it in silos. You know, whatever doctor you were going to for UTI could only see the UTI. And it's us as the patients who are saying, hey, this isn't right. Like, I think that's so backwards. Why do we have to advocate so much for ourselves for something that we have this much knowledge about? But thankfully you did. So, okay. So and this is why I have this podcast, honestly, because I want other people to hear your story and for you to, I mean, obviously you are out there publicly telling your story and sharing what you know, but the other people know that they have it within themselves too, to make these changes, and that the power to heal is within us, and professionals can help guide us. But when it doesn't feel like they're guiding us the right way, we have to look someplace else. And also, I think it's super that you understood that your passion was not in finance. that was not, I'm starting to think about more like our capacities as human to have passion and purpose, and how important that is and how that defines us as human beings. And if we haven't really captured that passion and purpose in our lives, what we're missing. And so just how amazing for you to like be able to understand that and make that shift. So congratulations on that journey.
Thank you. I agree. I think there's such a, you know, we just have we have a purpose on this planet. We are all here at this time, at this reason, for a reason. And it's hard when, you know, we feel that we're lost and we don't know what we're here for and what we're doing. And to really find, you know, it's like that gut feeling, that intuition, something in there is like dying to come out, but sometimes people don't know what it is. And I agree. I'm very thankful and I feel very blessed by God that like, hey, I just, you know, I was able to figure it out, and it came through, you know, through health and wellness for me at least. But you're right. It's hard because a lot of people don't really know. And that's a part of your health. I mean, really, if you're just sitting struggling in something that you don't love, oh my gosh, you're so stressed out. There's such a stress. There's such a hurt. It's like, what's my purpose?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. That's a great insight, and I hope other people can hear that and think about ways that they can start living their life to some sort of purpose or passion, to value belief that really is meaningful for them. So if you had a friend who was in a similar situation to you, and I know you probably meet people all the time, but what do you tell them to start with, or what do you tell them to think about?
Yeah, I would love for people to do their research a little bit more, because, you know, I like when you said something about it was with a practitioner, and if you to get guidance, because there are people out there clearly that have such wonderful guidance. But, you know, you may be familiar with this term too, but doctor actually means teacher. And so that's what the word means. The root word of doctor is, you know, it's teacher. And so if we're going to our doctor's offices, if you will, we should be being taught when we're there. So, you know, no one was teaching me anything. It was constant, you know, throwing me an antibiotic and, you know, have a good day and I hope you feel better. And so really we want to be able to learn about what is going on with our bodies. And I feel that traditionally hundreds of years or maybe thousands, you know, we've kind of been our own, maybe not our own doctors, but we've really had to listen to our bodies or tried to listen to our bodies. And we really kind of outsourced our health to, number one, large food companies, which I agree with you. It is about the bottom line being there. I know 100% that it is not, there is nothing there that they teach you about nutrition. It is all about bottom dollar. And of course, being in finance, the finance part of it, you know, you notice, hey, okay, that's what it's all about. It's not really, it's to feed, quote unquote, the masses, right? And it's not anything to say, oh, we need to make them healthier. So with that, but then we've also outsourced our health to just the current medical model, which is really a lot of, let me just throw something at you, see if this works, and not really give you tons of education around it, and go to your doctor to get you better or to work on the healing process. So, you know, we really, I would say, you know, do some advocating for yourself, do some research, because there's not just this little bit out there. It's not just the medical model. There is a huge world. There's so much more out there naturally that I think our ancestors have relied on that we've forgotten. And we've, over a couple generations, have just really looked to go to run into a doctor's office when we have, you know, a stuffy nose. And it's like, wait, we have to start listening to our bodies again. And, you know, reaching out again, I guess, to people who maybe have been there before, like, oh, hey, you know, I know you've gone through this, you know, can I talk to you about that? We want to advocate for ourselves and do the research. So I would probably, you know, tell people that there really is so much more out there natural healing wise, and please listen to your body. Your body is different than the next person. So just throwing a pill at it is not always going to be the right way to go about it. If, you know, and I'm not against any, you know, sort of medication when it comes, you know, if somebody absolutely needs something, you know, in an emergency situation. But to your point about chronic illness, what we are the sickest population walking this planet, and it's stupid. I mean, it's sad. And disease is just a term, it's a dis-ease of the body. So if we understood that our bodies are not faulty, it's what is going on with our bodies. So I would probably tell people this, you know, the same thing. And I do tell them that is even when working with clients and just doing speaking engagements is, you know, really your body is not faulty. Don't fear, your body can heal. To what degree, I don't know, but your body can heal, and we don't need to run into this broken system right away to just, you know, oh, hey, I my finger hurts. Okay, well, what happened? You know, what, think things through and be your own advocate, be your own doctor, if you will. I'm not saying to be a doctor, but you know, you have to, we do need doctors for absolutely, you know, tons of things, but listen to your body. And if you don't understand, do some research on what's going on. And I don't mean just, you know, Dr. Google, because that's where people go a lot, which it's helpful, but that would be something I would probably try to direct people in is really be your own advocate for your own health and not to outsource it to any place.
That's a really great point for sure. Specifically, do you have a place that you would send people for research or for information that is you feel is reliable regarding nutrition and food?
Yeah, you know, there's a really good brand out there that I like, and it's on Netflix. And I don't know, I'm not promoting them for any other reason than I just like the information that they put out there. But it's called Food Matters. So they do a lot of documentaries. There's they do just so many things, and you may be familiar with them as well. But it's just, you know, there's a lot of different brands, if you will, out there. So Food Matters is one of them that people can look into. And there's just so many health and wellness pieces of information there. So, you know, really looking at that, watching documentaries, reading some things, and you know, there's plenty of other places I could send them, but just really starting to get into some of those more natural health and wellness. I shouldn't say it's like a summit, but just the reaching out to those brands or looking into those, because there's so much information that there's a wide world out there, and we are so tunnel visioned to this current medical model that it just, you know, it's hurting people, and it shouldn't be. If we just kind of, yeah, go back, and I would say Food Matters is a good one, but I recommend some other things too. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, we'll link to your website in the show notes, so that I'm sure on your website you'll have other resources that people can take a look at or contact you directly. But yes, Netflix does put out some really good shows and programming. The a documentary called Heal.
Right.
A very good one, and they also talk about like the history of health and medicine, and back in the time of Newton, we started to think about our body as machinery and cogs and wheels, and we really aren't that segmented. We are in compartments, so we really need to think about more of that holistic, how everything works together, and you're living proof of just that. And I guess we've kind of covered about what you think needs to happen with the modern healthcare system. And I think, like you said, one, patients need to take more ownership for what's going on instead of outsourcing, as you said, our care to the medical professionals. We do have that intuition if we can stop and just have some awareness. So, you know, as we get in more technology, things are going bigger, faster, better. We are so distracted. And I think even looking on Google to find the answer, seeking an answer outside of ourselves, there must be one pill that we can take. There must be one something else that we have to buy in this consumer. But really, there may be, but it starts within us. And apart from that, anything else you have to add to what we need to change?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, too, is really a lot of the outsourcing to the food, our health to large food companies. And you're right, it is all within ourselves. I think that there's really four main pillars, if we think about it, that's really super easy for humans. And that's really what we should be basing our lifestyle and our health and just our lives on, is just rest, which we don't give ourselves enough rest at all, ever. We think we always have to be busy with something, and we are very busy, and it makes sense, but we forget to take time for ourselves to just stop. And that's huge. Another thing, and I could, you know, get into that, of course, but, you know, even just resting to be quiet, almost to your point, just stopping. We have that intuition in ourselves to just listen, but we feel that if we're, you know, we're not doing something, then, oh my goodness, I'm not being productive. And really, you are being a lot more productive when you are resting, because you're listening to you, you're listening to, you know, a higher power, you're listening to the universe, whatever you want to call it, and to help guide you and to calm us down. And we're too wound up. We are very wound up society, and it's just so much stress. We don't think to rest. The other one is breathing. People don't take time to just stop to breathe. And when I say breathe, I don't mean just super shallow breaths. It's just, you know, we have to take, you know, big breaths, and, you know, you can do it. Take three breaths. I mean, just to calm that anxiety, calm that, you know, whatever it is going on. Eating too, very, very simple, but we just confuse it because there's so much out there to eat, and there's so many fads and trends and da 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 da. And that's what I do as a health coach, is really helping people cut that noise out. You know, if you're not sure, or if something's not working, or you keep going back and forth and I'm not sure what to do and how to do this, let's cut that noise out. I'm here to work with you to really work on you and what's good for our bodies, what's good for your body. So it's just, you know, and food is a big piece of that. And what is it? Whole, real food. And we forget to do that. And maybe it's boring sometimes to people, but, you know, as a chef, that's where I come in and say, you know what, let's make this really good. You would never think to put these things together or make it so simple. And oh my goodness, that takes place of this, you know, whatever I was purchasing at the store. So food is a big one. And then hydration, which again, we are a very chronically dehydrated society. And so there's the kind of the core, I mean, clearly we can add another one on there if we want to say movement. Of course, movement is huge. And we need that. We need to sweat. We need to move. We need to keep our bodies moving. But it's just those four very basic, very, very basic things for human life. And we tend to just, there's so much information out there. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to, what do I do? How do I do this? I don't know what to do. It's like, number one, like you said, stop. We've got that intuition. Just listen and rest, you know, breathe it out. Just having basic food needs, and just hydrate. Our bodies need all of that to move. And then we complicate it then from there. But it's just, those are some things that I find extremely important that we forget as a human population to just stop and do these things. And we get so confused by things that are out there. And, you know, again, I really want to help people cut through that and just get back to the basics and build slow, you know, strong habits. It's not because if we could build very unhealthy habits, we can absolutely build healthy habits. So yeah, it's kind of to your point, it may be short term, it may not look super inexpensive, but it kind of can be. I mean, I've had to go through this myself, and you know, not to get into that, but we've lost a whole income when I left my job, and I had to shift what went on my plate to a lot healthier foods. And personally, I don't advocate for any one particular lifestyle or diet or anything, but I know that cutting certain things out of your diet, or cutting back on certain things, your grocery bill goes down. Mm-hmm. And being in finance for such a long time, that's another part that I like to help people on too, is, you know, hey, we think it's so expensive, but it's really not. And you may think it's, you know, a certain shock in the beginning, but it doesn't have to be. And I find ways, you know, hey, we're going to save money and you're going to get healthier. You know, your body's going to start healing, and you're going to put more money back in your pocket, so you can do things that you want to do, as opposed to spending it in the back end, which is going to be just mega amounts of money. Can be.
So, and time and energy. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. That time and energy. That's a really good point, because it's not just the financial piece, but what is it costing you to stay in this space? Yeah, that time, I can't do this, I can't fit in this chair, or whatever it is. I'm tired all the time. Whatever it is, there's a cost to that, and it's not just financial, but it can be very financial when it comes down to it. So we want to work on healing their finances along with their health. Yeah.
And especially with chronic disease, people have a hard time understanding what it's like to feel better when they haven't felt better in such a long time. So, yeah. And, you know, when I went gluten-free years before, I always felt like, oh, I need to replace that bread with something else. And nothing against gluten-free products, but I find most recently, and I'm sure you as well, that those really aren't needed. And so many of those products have just as much sugar and just as much other processed things in those packages, even though it doesn't have the gluten, that's really not needed at all if we're sticking with the whole foods, fruits and vegetables. And, you know, 10 servings of fruits and vegetable a day is what's going to reverse disease, far above what the FDA recommends that we eat. So we need to be bumping up those whole fruits and vegetables much more, and relying less on what's in the package.
and that's a really good point, because it really is about, you know, it's like we think about the servings that we have to have, and a lot of times people focus on that, and it's really, we want to also think like, okay, maybe instead of saying how many servings should I have, how bright can my plate be every single meal? And when I say that, you know, how many different colored fruits and veggies can you make your plate and your snacks every single meal that you're putting in your mouth? Because that is medicine. Like, we think, okay, well, I need to feel better, I need to do this, I need to do that, what else can I do? And it's like, well, let's start basic. Let's get to your plate, and we'll see what can we put on there, you know, what from the produce section. And we want to try to go as organic as we possibly can, but there's things that we just, you know, you can't, and if you can't, you try your best, right? So, but it's how do we put on our plate as much medicine in our body to get ourselves through the day, all day long, to constantly be combating the negative effects in the environment and just a lot of things that are going on around us and our stress. And a lot of people don't think about like the gut brain connection and how much our brains rely on our guts and how much our guts, our digestive tract. So what we're digesting. So we want to put in good fuel and healthy fuel. And that's really what I look at it is, how do we nourish the body, as opposed to say, oh, I need to get my fruits and vegetables in, which totally makes sense. But how can we make it colorful, make it fun, make yourself, you know, give yourself that medicine every single meal? And if you're not, then we feel like, you know, are we doing our body a service or a disservice by not getting enough medicinal foods in?
That's a great way to put it. And I also appreciate how you've kind of condensed it down to those four main points and something simple for everyone to understand, and definitely in a noisy world. Lastly, I just want to talk about your personal self-care habits and what do you do now that you really feel has made, other than the food, such an impact for you?
Yeah. So I think changing my shifting my lifestyle with my job was probably one of the biggest things that I did. Of course, with what went on my plate was another one, but my self-care routine, I don't really have a routine per se, but I love doing acupuncture. Like, I love going for acupuncture. I know that it helps clear energy that sometimes can be blocked in that we don't even know, you know, and again, that's probably a whole nother conversation to explain the energy piece of it. But I think acupuncture, because it's so relaxing. I do also, sometimes I'll do some tapping. I'm not sure, EFT or tapping, if anybody's familiar with that, that helps kind of release some emotions from cells that we're holding on to so much. RMRs are the rapid mind renewals. So that's something else that, you know, people can kind of look into. I think just, you know, doing some walking, you know, I walk a lot. I don't, you know, I'm not a runner. I run every once in a while, but you got to get outside and get in nature, just really get in nature. That's a big one that I like to do a lot is just, you know, going for a walk and just being surrounded by nature because it's so healing. Mm-hmm. And so the walking piece, and of course the nature part is just super, super healing. I'm just taking time for myself, which is very hard. I think we all think about that, but how do I do that? How do I fit that in my day? But, you know, trying to wake up and do some prayer and meditation, and it doesn't need to be long, but that's what I'm doing. And then also, again, just stopping and trying to take some time for me. And it doesn't need to be long, but trying to do a little bit of breathing throughout the day to catch myself, because I, you know, we're running around being shallow breathers, and I really want to reset my, you know, recalibrate. And so those are some things that I do aside from, of course, you know, put eating as much as I can. I go to farmers markets, you know, eating as much local and as much seasonal. Doesn't mean you have to eat seasonal, but I think whatever's in season is beautiful. So putting as much medicinal foods in my body, getting to know your food source. And I love, that's part of my self-care is really, you know, understanding that, because it just brings it to a whole nother level. And my body understanding and being close to my food and understanding, you know, what it is that we're doing, where it's growing. So that's what I would say. You know, that's part of what I do. So that's, yeah. And live, I think being a good example, you know, I mean, living what you're talking about, it really helps keep you accountable. I know it helps keep me accountable rather. But it also just makes me feel so much better. Like, this is the light that I want to emanate. And I want you to shine your light too. I want your body rather to, you know, I feel that we need to eat more light-filled food. And when I say light-filled, I mean whole real foods, things that grow from the ground, that grow from the sun. And, you know, you fill your body with light, you can then become the light, if you will, or become lighter. Yes. And you feel better, and you can really, your body can shine for you, and you become an example.
That's beautiful, Annette. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about how wonderful it is that we can reconnect and how similar our stories are and how similar our passions are. So I know we'll be having many more conversations. I'm thinking of ideas for us now. So check out Annette's Passionate Palette website, and it'll be in the show notes. And just thank you so much for joining us today, and such a beautiful conversation about healthcare and advocacy for yourself. So thank you so much, Annette, for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. And just a real quick mention about the Passionate Palette. I know sometimes some people, and it will be listed, but sometimes people look at Passionate, and it is a play on my name, so it's Passionette.
Oh.
But you're right. That's how you're supposed to say it. Like, just Passionate, right? Passionate Palette. So it's Passionette, ETTE. As opposed to just Passionate. So, and I only say that for clarification for others, because they tend to look up just Passionate, which is ATE, and it's actually Passionette. So a play on my name. So yeah, but thank you so, so much. I really, really enjoyed this, and you're doing an awesome job.
Well, thank you. Well, we'll talk soon.
Hey there, it's Christine from the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. Would you like to be featured on this podcast and share your healthcare advocacy story? Then sign up on the Sign Up Genius link under the description of this podcast, and we'll talk soon.